Our next speaker, Ali Torneca. Did I do it good? All right. Hewlett Packard Enterprise. We're going to talk a little ATSC 3.0 and 5G. You can read all about Ali in the back of the pamphlet here, so we'll get right underway. So, Ali, welcome.
Thank you very much. First time here in podcast clinic. It's a pleasure. So Hewlett Packard Enterprise, we'll talk about convergence of 5G and ATSC 3. Hopefully this presentation will make you awake. So this is a window, an open window about the future of broadcasting. I am from Communication Technology Group, which is a software division in HPE. Maybe you know HPE about servers, but we have a strong software division. So we do as well software and system integration. Let me start with basically about this presentation. We'll first look into the landscape of broadcasting. Then we'll talk about what ATSC 3 or what ATSC standard is doing about broadcasting. This will be something like ATSC 3.5, obviously. Then we'll talk about 3GPP broadcasting and what are the broadcasting technologies that 3GPP has come up with. It's important to talk about it because obviously we are seeking a convergence with 3GPP. Then we'll talk about use cases, and there is some important use case about how ATSC 3 or basically the digital terrestrial broadcasting can play a major role in the industry. And at the end, we'll go a little deep in technology, and we'll talk about the integration between ATSC 3 and 3GPP. So there will be a lot of diagram, a lot of architecture diagram. First, let's look into a landscape of broadcasting. So we know that we have a pressure, broadcasters are facing a pressure on revenue. We have a competition. First of all, we have a consumer shift, right? They are moving into mainly on-demand services, more than live services, the traditional services. We have social media, which is basically we see a migration of advertisement budget, mainly going to social media and less into the broadcaster and live linear channel. And then we have a lot of OTT players, right? So now we have Disney Plus, we have Netflix. Now even advertisement is coming on Netflix, right? So we see a lot of pressure on broadcaster, on the revenue for broadcaster. On the other hand, there should be some, as well, some push in order to basically compensate this revenue, which is definitely coming by the next gen ATSC 3, right? ATSC 3 will bring more spectrum, more capacity into the spectrum, so basically you can stuff more services. Plus, there is as well new use cases, and we will explain ATSC 3 is basically bring new advantages, and these can be benefit for introducing new type of services. So as well, we need to see about the new reality. We see an explosion of devices, right? These are basically powered by IoT, Internet of Things. We have as well some AI-driven use cases that require basically not single connectivity. It requires multiple connectivity, right? I mean, the legacy network, the normal ISP network, become really congested when you have a lot of unicast session. So now the architecture of edge to cloud is not anymore a simple edge. It extends basically to what we call consumer edge or basically extreme edge. This is where you need to have low latency, and you do a traffic offload from your unicast network to basically another type of more efficient network like a multicast network. So really there is a new paradigm in the industry, which is connectivity, and basically ATSC or basically broadcasting can play a major role of it. Of course, these become a possibility because you have a new protocol coming, like multipass TCP, which is a protocol that allow a single device to get traffic from multiple connectivity. You have something like QUIC, which is as well, it's under development, and it is really promising for how QUIC can address multi-pass UDP. So there is multiple protocols that make this architecture a possibility. So basically, the opportunity is for broadcaster to play a role in this architecture. Now, not anymore broadcaster is addressing linear TV. No. There is a possibility now to address mobility, connected car, and smart agriculture, or basically what we call it IoT devices, right? Broadcasting, basically, now it's mainly used for linear TV, but it can carry any type of data. And there is really a big opportunity, especially in the enterprise sector, to carry more services into this field. So ATSC standard has taken note about this opportunity, and they bring basically a multiple standard, multiple group that basically taking care of these new opportunities. One of them is S43. I am as well co-chairing of S43. This is a working group focusing on putting a specification about a core network. So eventually, this is still work in progress, but the goal is to put a specification about a core network and bring basically a specification that allow vendors to basically develop a broadcast core network. The main idea is basically provide services at scale, right? It's not only a single, let me go to the next slide. So it's not only about putting a service on a single stick or single station. It's basically transforming the whole network into transforming the whole transmission facility into a single network. You can see there will be here a broadcast core network. This is, for example, a control layer that connect to every antenna. And here the antenna will become like an edge. Not only this, the S43 is looking as well to enhance the return path, which is basically important for a service when it needs to be delivered with confirmation, right? So for example, you send a data file to an area, you need to make sure that this data file has been received by the receiver and it is processed. So S43 will look into basically transforming the discrete stations into a kind of a core network with a wireless type of network. If we want to take into the high-level architecture of how S43 is thinking, basically, you can see here, you have two stations, for example, and let me say that station is the same diagram that Ralph was showing, right? The gateway, the encapsulator, the transcoding. So every local broadcast chain is formed with a number of devices that basically carry that signal at the end into the antenna. What we do, we integrate these station through system manager. This is a device has been mentioned a couple of times or many times in ATSC standard. It's a device that basically manage the service inside the station. So basically when we have a single core network, and this core network is formed about network functionality, NF, we call it NF, but it can be basically a portal, it can be an orchestration engine, it can be a logs, a monitoring network function. So it's a variety of network functions at the end. It will form something called broadcast core network, BCN. And every network function will provide its service to another network functions through APIs. So this is an architect that has been followed in different standard. And basically here in ATSC, we believe that this is the best fit for something called broadcast core network. So eventually you have a single control layer and everything in your network is managed and controlled by a single central system that we call broadcast core network. In the market, we start seeing broadcast core network. One of them is HPE broadcast core network. Here, there is a few snapshots about this solution. This is a broadcast portal. You can see, for example, this is a four station control. So one of the snapshots is a map where you see four different stations, and as well you see the coverage of it. The idea is to offer a service at scale. So for example, if you want to send a data file, you want to send a file, let's say a software update, you do it once from this portal, and the orchestration engine and the other component will take care of distributing this file into all your station, right? So it's a management system. We can see here on the bottom left, you can see a catalog, service catalog, where we can see different type of service. So basically, this is a dynamic. So the idea is to use the spectrum in a dynamic manner. So if a customer wants to lease the spectrum for one day, they can come to the portal, basically provision their service. At the end, the service will be destroyed, and eventually the spectrum, the capacity utilized, can be going back to the pool of spectrum. So it can be as well deployed in a virtualized environment. It can be deployed into a public cloud and having a connectivity to every station. There is a lot of information. If you would like to have more information about it, I will be happy to provide you details and more information. The other working group that basically ATSC has formed is called TG3-11. It's basically looking into harmonization of 3GPP with ATSC. As you know, 3GPP is a global. It's a global consortium of telecommunication standard, and the target is to basically keep the standard as global as possible. So the same 3GPP has done the 2G, 3G, 4G that are very famous. As well, they have done a number of broadcasting technology like MBMS, which is multimedia broadcast, multicast services, enhanced MBMS, and further enhanced MBMS. So the idea is 3GPP is famous because every mobile device that is coming out to the market is 3GPP compliant, right? So the target of TG3-11C, how ATSC and how DTT in general can be integrated with 3GPP. It's very important to extend the ATSC reach into 3GPP arena. Just to take a little bit of history about broadcasting in 3GPP, this has started since 2005 with MBMS, right? This is the first version of broadcasting in 3GPP. This was almost on the time of 2G and 3G. Then we have the enhanced MBMS, which is release 9. It was on 2009. Basically, these two did not find any commercial deployment, mainly because it was expensive. It was an early stage of media taking off in the industry, right? But with EMBMS, SFN, this we can start seeing now more commercial deployment around the world, especially in Europe. So EMBMS, SFN was in 2012, then the further enhanced MBMS, and we will explain a little bit later on the slides what is the difference between them. Eventually, today, we have the 5G broadcast, which is on release 16. This is available since 2020, and this is around 4G, 5G time. The last one, the last technology that 3GPP has come up is the 5G MBS. It's basically on release 17, and this is on 22, so it's already released. However, we did not see any deployment yet on 5G MBS. So for focusing our integration, so ATSC was looking into only 5G broadcast and 5G MBS. But before we talk about the architecture of these two technology, let me give you a little bit of basically mode of operation on MBMS. There is two mode of operation. It's not only broadcast. There is a broadcasting capability, plus there is a multicast mode. So in a difference of, for example, ATSC3, where it's pure broadcast, MBMS look into something more, which is basically multicast. The device can need to express the need to join a multicast in order to gain access to the data, right? So here you can see on two diagram, the first one is broadcast mode. Once the device is tuning to the frequency, he will be able to receive the data. On the second slide, on the second part, multicast mode, the device has to first subscribe to the service, plus he has to join a specific multicast, right? So it gives a little bit more of security compared to ATS C3. So mainly this is the advantage of MBMS compared with other DTT. Now, going back to the main, the current technology, which is the 5G broadcast that it's currently deployed around the world, especially not in USA, especially in Europe. By the way, FCC has approved a trial version of 5G broadcast for LPTV. Mainly the 5G broadcast rely on the architecture of 5G, which is the E-Node B, and there is an MBMS gateway. There is as well the broadcast multicast service center. So these are the device which receive multicast from content provider and eventually send it to the antenna through the E-Node B. Here I want to mention something that there is a possibility to do SFN, so single frequency network, because 3GPP is about small cell. I mean, the deployment of wireless network is small cell, but for broadcasting, there is a need to make it a single SFN, which make it suitable for stick, high power, high tower antenna. So there is a multi-cell entity which select how many, what is the area that it can be served by a single frequency network. So you can see here on the right, a number of cells being selected, and this will be a single frequency network. So basically the communication can go through a single tower that covers the whole area on these cells, right? This is where we see a synergy between DTT, between digital terrestrial transmission and 3GPP. The last architecture of 5G, which is 5G MBS, is basically the latest architecture, and you can see it's a little bit more complex. But let's focus on the path between on the hard gray line. So the traffic will go from application service. It will go up to the user plane function, what we call it multicast broadcast user plane function, the one in the middle, up to the next generation radio access network, right? So in 5G, the radio called a new generation radio access network, this is the main component that basically process, it's something similar to the exciter in DTT. So this is the architecture of 5G MBS. So this is something yet to come in the market. It has been released only last year, and the deployment is yet to come. One important note that this architecture take into account a small cell, right? So every cell will require a support for multicast version. Here as well, there is two modes of operation in 5G MBS. There is what we call share content or shared MBS, which is point to multipoint, exactly like a multicast. But there is another mode of operation, which is point to point, right? So here, 3GPP has enhanced the architecture of broadcasting in 3GPP, and they take into account two modes of operation, point to point or point to multipoint. Now let's go into mainly the important part, which is the use case. What are the use cases basically that ATSC are seeking in order to do an integration with 5G? Of course, beyond the traditional TV, so beyond reaching traditional TV into mobile, right? So this is the first use case, which is obvious. There is a number of use cases that start shape in the tech. A big part in the industry. First one is, for example, vehicle to everything. This is an important use case, mainly based on data casting service. The idea is to send infotainment information, firmware update, map update, as well precision, what we call precision, GPS, or more specific precision location. These require as well a kind of integration between ATSC and mobile network. Playout service, this is a flash channel. For example, a customer would like to issue a channel for 24 hours. This could be as well a use case where it is required to reach mobile devices. Private service, like law enforcement, so details about specific emergency. This can be sent over in an ATSC or through a mobile network. And the most important is about CDN offload. This is required in order to reduce the traffic on Unicast network and basically benefit from one-to-many of broadcasting, right? This is a very important use case. I have a dedicated slide about it. For vehicle to everything, this is required in order to provide connectivity to the cars for map update, GPS, or basically more precisely, we call it precise location. So the idea is to use ATSC as a broadcast channel. So all the information that has to be reached to many devices can go through ATSC. And when you need a return pass or basically an information coming from the cars, this will go over a 5G new radio or a 4G, basically any type of wireless mobile connectivity. So both of them will be eventually hooked to a 5G core network. We have the vehicle to everything control function and application function are two main network function defined in 5G and 3GPP. And the idea that we can do an integration between the control function and ATSC in order to send data, the relevant data into ATSC. So this is one of the important use case. And S43 is basically looking into how to make a interface definition for this use case. The other one is a bit complex. This is a CDN offload. Usually when you have a live match, right, like for example the Super Bowl, we see a lot of traffic coming on the service provider, internet service provider. And we had a discussion as HPE with many service providers. Sometimes they feel really a big trouble on their network because there will be a boost of traffic coming from the normal CDN pass, right? So here you have a CDN pass. Usually you have a CDN node that serves customers. When you have a live match, for example, there will be a lot of pressure on this network. So we come up with an idea that in case of a live match or live event, there is a possibility to accelerate this event through sending the data over ATSC. In this case, ATSC will be a single, every single station will take a single copy of the stream, and it will push it over ATSC. Of course, you have the receiver, which will play the role of gateway, right? So it will receive as well the same traffic through ATSC 3, and it will be able to serve it internally through many devices within the home without costing extra bandwidth into the internet network. So this will look like basically a CDN offload. You offload your traffic to a broadcast mechanism where it can reach many devices at the same time, right? So the idea you reach many devices without impacting of the Unicast network, right? This is important. And we see many different way of implementation. So for example, live TV is one of the way of reducing the traffic on Unicast network and leverage the live stream into ATSC3. There is other way, for example, video on demand. When you have a new episode coming, for example, a famous series, releasing an episode that it will cause a lot of traffic on your ISP. There is a possibility to offload this through ATSC3. You just need to have a receiver who is able to buffer it, receive a data casting file. It will buffer it, and then it will make it available for the user to watch it, right? So the idea is to enhance the quality, first of all, of course, because when you have a lot of traffic on the ISP, sometimes the quality drops drastically. So in this way, you can leverage the high quality over broadcasting, over ATSC, and you can gain a better quality. We have discussed many way of implementation of this kind of network. One of them is, for example, deploy an ATSC3 receiver on aggregation point, right? It does not need to be on the customer side. It can be, for example, dozen of aggregation point in the telco network. They can deploy an ATSC receiver. So it's really an easy way of deployment and leveraging the nice one-to-many efficiency of broadcasting. So this is an important use case. I wanted to focus on it. Let's now go a little bit more in detail about how we can integrate ATSC and 3GPP network, right? So we took into account two architecture. The first one is 5G broadcast, the current one that 3GPP is using, and basically the future one that it's 5G MBS. So first of all, in order to do the integration, we believe in S43 that it's essential to have an integration through a broadcast core network, right? So you cannot, and I mean, a wireless network cannot go to every station in order to use the spectrum. It has first to go into a broadcast core network, first of all, in order to know the available coverage. So let's say you have one broadcaster who has the broadcast core network and many stations. So first of all, you need to know which stations or which coverage this broadcast is providing. So it's very important to know what are the area of service. Secondly, you need to know what is the capacity available for a wireless network to use in case they want to send service over broadcasting. So this is another area. Of course, there will be some APIs that the broadcast core network will expose. This we call it through a network exposure function. It's an important network function that provide an API for all these capabilities. So first of all, coverage map. Second, available capacity on every station. Of course, the third one is to reserve the capacity. Fourth one is to do provisioning of service. So it's a bunch of communications that need to happen between a wireless network and a broadcast core network in order to reserve the capacity and in order to send the provisioning request for broadcast core network in order to reserve and push the service into the station. So it's a bunch of communication. This will be required in order to do the integration with a wireless network. So here there is many use case, but the first important use case that TG3 was working on it, which is using ATSC3 as a mechanism to offload from the wireless network, right? So on the left, you see the blue boxes. This is the 5G core network, right, a big one. And then you have the small cells of interfaces, or basically the small cell of radio access network. There is, in order to integrate, basically, eventually, a 5G core network will need to send service into the ATSC3 antenna. And this is represented in the green, right? And this is a broadcast network operator. So this is the first scenario. The second scenario that basically is one of the vendor has proposed, which is mainly Qualcomm. It's about doing a time shift between ATSC3 and 5G broadcast. You can see here, it's still a deployment over a broadcast network operator. So basically a broadcaster will deploy a 5G broadcast antenna or radio access network. This is represented in the blue color on the button, right? You can see 3GPP RAN And you can see before it the 3GPP core network. These two boxes are representing the 5G broadcast. In addition, he will have a ATSC normal transmission, right? The idea here is to do a kind of overlapping between 3GPP and ATSC3 in order to reach both capable device, right? So you send TV signals to ATSC3 devices, or you send other data to mobile devices, right? So these two can alternate together in order to form basically a coexistence between ATSC3 and 5G broadcast. You can see here on the left, you have a single transmission facility, or basically we call it the head end ATSC service layer, providing services for both of ATSC3 and 5G broadcast. Now, this is a lab test done by ETRI. It's a Korean telecommunication institute. They have done a comparison between 5G broadcast and ATSC3, and what they figure out that ATSC performance is much better due to mainly the bit interleaved codec modulation and time interleaver. So ATSC3 has better mechanism of doing RF modulation and doing RF. So it provides a better performance. Moreover, there will be a big, you can see here on the left, comparison between the two protocols, the ATSC3 and the 3GPP, or basically the 5G broadcast. ATSC has a better performance and better reception. You can see the gain is between 3 dB to 11 dB, and this is mainly used only on the technique in the BICM chain and on the time interleaver. Moreover, when ATSC3 is using when it uses LDM, even the performance will become even better in this case. So LDM on ATSC3, which is not available in 5G broadcast as well, it's an advantage on ATSC3. Another mechanism, another scenario that TG3-11 has figured out, which is use of 5G broadcast from the mobile network operator and from the ATSC or from the broadcaster. I mean, this one compared to the previous one, and we can do it a little bit faster. You can see we just have the mobile network operator at the bottom. In this case, both capability will use the 5G broadcast, which is an ownership of the broadcast network operator, in order to send data into the devices, right? In this case, you still have the same mechanism, coexistence between ATSC3 and 5G broadcast. But one of them is meant to be sent from MNO, so the MNO service will be carried over 5G broadcast. And the other one will be the broadcaster will as well use 5G broadcast in order to reach mobile devices, right? So the use case is to use is to provide services to the mobile devices. That's the main use cases of it. The last one about the integration between ATSC3 and 5G, it's basically the integration based on 5G MBS. This is the architecture of the new of the new 5G core network using the 5G MBS. But here the important point is we have a new box called A3IWF, which is a no 3GPP integration device. This is a new device that we believe it can be created in order to do the integration between 5G core network and ATSC transmission, right? I keep insisting that this is the ATSC transmission. The integration on the control layer will happen between the core network of 5G and between the core network of broadcast core network. So in this case, you can see the user equipment. You see the box on the left, yes. It has an ATSC3 receiver. In this case, the broadcast service will come from ATSC3, and the unicast, the return pass, will go through the 5G communication, right? So this is another, as well, integration, a possibility to integrate with 5G core network. So what is the conclusion? I mean, all the studies that ATSC has done is having one purpose, which is, first of all, enhancing basically the use of the broadcasting and basically moving it from the traditional linear service into something big. And here we are talking about convergence, right? So, I mean, going to back to the second slide, right? This, it provides the answer of the second slide. You have now, nowadays, a lot of requirement into enhancing connectivity. So ATSC3 will be part of this connectivity arena. Now you have devices, which is will be a CPE, right? It could be a gateway, it could be a wireless gateway, plus an ATSC receiver, plus a Wi-Fi connectivity. So all of them will work in an environment where it provides the best connectivity to the devices. This can be an IoT device. You want to enhance basically a software update for all your devices. So in this case, you use an ATSC3 connectivity to send the data. If you have a single file upload, in this case, you can use a wireline or basically a 5G connectivity to send the data. So the idea is you will have a convergence of connectivity, and which is best, I mean, more efficient, it will be used in order to reach the device. This is the future we see, and in HPE, we work on this architecture. So in release 19, which is the next release, that it will come hopefully next year or year after, we have a new work item, which is what we call it DTT, which is Digital Terrestrial Broadcast Network with 5G Multicast Broadcast. It's a working group in 3GPP has been formed, and the idea of it is basically use of ATSC3 to be one of the technologies that it can be used in order to integrate with 3GPP. Why this is important? Because it means that adoption of ATSC3 will become part of 3GPP, which means more mobile devices will come with ATSC3 tuner. I mean, we hope that this will become a successful. There is a lot of effort internationally. For example, I will mention in India, there is an effort for adopting ATSC3 and become part of direct-to-mobile services. So it's very important if any one of you have a 3GPP or know someone in 3GPP, your company part of 3GPP, it will be good to join this working group and basically pushing for ATSC3 to become one of the broadcasting technologies that 3GPP adopt. With that, that's my last slide. Thank you very much for listening. Hopefully it was not a lot of detail and it was boring. Sorry. Thank you. Any question? Yeah. Thank you. You need to give the mic to Vicky.
I'll raise you.
Hi, you mentioned network offloading and some edge caching devices.
Correct.
Are the edge caching devices in people's homes?
Yes, it will be. The edge caching has to be in people's homes. So one scenario is you have the gateway, for example, your wireless gateway as well playing the role of web caching as well. So there is many gateway in the market which has as well a web caching capability inside them.
Thank you.
No problem. Thank you. Yeah.
Hi. Question. Mark yep. Rushton, Media Proxy. What comes after 5G? When? And how does that impact these plans?
What come after 5G? Yeah. I mean, after 5G, there is a work on 6G that has started. But this will take maybe up to release 20 or 21. So we are talking about at least 4 years from now. And how this will impact, we need to wait until the new release 19 is basically released. This will come in 2025, most probably, not in 2024. And we need to see if, for example, ATSC is adopted of one of the broadcasting technologies. So just to give you a small as well update, there is a lot of focus on broadcasting, especially in the new industry. For example, automotive, there is a need to update software, for example. And we see now more car manufacturers are looking into something like broadcasting in order to enhance the way they update the software on the car. So just an example. Yep.
Not a question, but just, I guess, more of a kind of comment, observation, or thought that I had about this. Your presentation is very fascinating, and I think for the case of CDN offloading, I see from a purely technical standpoint that takes away all of the money and politics of different entities owning rights to different things. It makes good sense that a technology that's built for broadcasting data is the more appropriate avenue for something like the Super Bowl to be delivered. If you have a number of people who are on their mobile devices or on their computer or on their smart TV, and they're all using the Unicast network to fetch unique copies of what's essentially the same thing, it just makes a lot of sense from a technical standpoint for a broadcast infrastructure to broadcast that data to all of those viewers. And I guess the thing that comes to mind to me is if, there's a lot of money that goes into who gets the right to air the Super Bowl. There's millions and millions of dollars in that. And just thinking about the case of the Super Bowl, and if we were to have, say, a different station use their ATSC stick to do some CDN offloading, they're suddenly taking some part in the delivery of that game. Say if maybe the stick owned by the ABC affiliate in the market is taking part in some of that CDN offloading while the game is actually being carried on CBS.
But the idea is about quality of service.
Right.
I totally agree with you that there is a kind of competition between the service provider and a broadcaster. But at the end of the day, it's a quality of service for the end user, which makes more sense, right? I mean, eventually they want to offer the best service possibility. When you have a CDN and it's congested, a lot of customer session will drop to lower quality, and this will impact basically the quality of experience for these customers. So it makes sense. I totally agree that there is some competition between broadcaster and service provider, but eventually they have to work together for the best quality of experience.
Well, and yeah, I agree. I think that's what will happen. It just, it's thought-provoking. From a technical standpoint and for the ultimate, quality of service for viewers, it makes perfect sense. I'm just kind of wondering, and not really criticizing, but just it makes me wonder how all of those, how all that's going to get talked out by, the money people and the people who make the decision between, between the different entities involved in, in media like the Super Bowl. So just, yeah, very fascinating though. Fascinating presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate it. Thanks.